We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank the Lord that we live in Florida. Amen. It's the weather of over the past several days. Well, a little bit on the cool side, you know, or at least over the weekend anyway. It was a little bit cool, but absolutely gorgeous. And that is fantastic. So I pray you're having a great day. But I do want to let you know, you will need your air conditioner. Excuse me there for a moment. Before too long, and if Creative AC Solutions can be of any assistance to you here in the central Brevard County area, give them a call, 759-3284, 759-3284. So give them a call. They can come out. They can take a look at your unit. They'll clean it all up, do whatever is necessary to make sure that it is working at peak efficiency. So praise the Lord. And today we want to get back into the Word. Today is our vintage service at Merritt Assembly God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney, and about two blocks east of Tropical Trail, and about two blocks south of Merritt Avenue, kind of right in the middle of Merritt Park Place. And so if you are looking for a church home, or if you're available to come out today, next Wednesday during our vintage service, we're going to be watching a video on Israel titled Israel Through the Looking Glass. That is on March the 9th. And so today we will be singing, worshiping the Lord. I'll be sharing out of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, I believe it is, one more time. And so come and be a part of that. Kids ministry is tonight. And I know that a lot of people serve in a lot of churches, but I want you to know that our kids ministry team is absolutely phenomenal. And so if you would like to come and be a part of that, we would love to have you. We have three different girls classes. We got a one boys class. And so if you have kids that you would like to have raised in the knowledge of the Lord, we want to invite you to bring them out. We start serving food at 6 o'clock, and then 6:30 the classes start, or our worship time starts, and about 6:45 we break for our various classes, and that runs till about 7:45. So that's what's going on, and hope that you can make some of those events. Let's look to the Word right now. Let's get back in to Genesis. We're talking about Abraham and the culture of his household that he created. And we started talking about Sarai and how her name literally meant dominating or controlling. And then we moved on to Hagar. And so I want to talk a little bit about Hagar today. We're going to look, because one of the things that I've mentioned before, and I'll mention again, is a lot of times people do not want to take responsibility for their part of the problem. And Hagar and Sarah end up having major personality issues. They have it on a couple of occasions, and so today I want to talk a little bit about that. You know, Sarai was the one who said, "Hey, you know, if you will sleep with my maidservant here, you can raise me up children through her." Well, that plan did not work. And so I want to take you to Genesis, the 16th chapter, verse number 4, and I will begin reading there, and then we'll talk about some of these issues. We're also going to be in Genesis chapter 21. In Genesis chapter 16, verse number 4, it says, "So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarai said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." So Abram said to Sarai, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness and by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" She said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael," which means God will hear. That I added that little commentary there. "Because the Lord has heard your affliction, he shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees." For she said, I also here seen him who sees me." Therefore, the well was called Beer Lehi Roy. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abraham, or to Abram. And so Sarah is a very controlling, a very dominating, a very strong personality. And there is nothing wrong with strength as long as it is strength under control. A lot of people equate meekness with weakness, and because people just walk all over them. But in actuality, meekness is great strength under God's control. Not just under control, but under God's control. And so Sarai had created this solution in her mind that she thought that was going to make everything better. It was going to take away the curse. It was going to be the perfect solution. However, the scripture later says, it didn't say this at the time that Sarai was here, but in Proverbs it says, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." God's solutions are always proven right. They are always proven correctly. Correct. That God's solutions never have a ounce of remorse along with them. There's never, you know, if I had thought that this would have happened, I would have done it differently. I have a definition that I share at our church of the difference between a good idea and a great idea. A good idea is an idea that you have that after you have been involved in the process for some time, that you come up with an idea that could have made the process go a lot smoother, a lot easier. A great idea is that exact same idea before the process begins. A God idea is an idea that God is in charge of the timing, in charge of the process, in charge of the outcome. We're just in charge of the obedience, and the God idea is always going to be proven right. Jesus said, "Wisdom is proved right by her actions." I'll never forget a time I was praying about something, and God began to challenge me in my prayer time, and he said, Let me ask you about how you're dealing with this circumstance and with this situation." And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, how many times have you dealt with this exact same person and this exact same problem?" And I said, "God, it's been quite a bit." And he said, "Well, if wisdom is always proved right by her actions, what does that say about your actions?" And it was a situation. It's like, you know what? I've been dealing with this same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. And, you know, there's some people that say that that is the definition of insanity, doing the same thing repeatedly and expecting a different result each time. And so God challenged me and he said, here is how I want you to deal with this circumstance. And so I want to challenge you right now. If you have been repeatedly trying something and has not been working well, get on your face. You know, we're in our 30 days of prayer leading up to Easter. Get into the presence of God, hear from him, and find out what God's strategy is. On Sunday night in our Grow group, I was challenging our congregation that everybody has a part to play. Everybody, you know, a part to play in bringing about the will of God. But part of that responsibility is a supernatural encounter with God where we hear from heaven and he affects every nature of our being. And we go forth as people who are prophesying, and the result is that the heavens are moved. Acts chapter 2 says God begins to move in the heavenlies, and as a result, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to encourage you to allow God to bring you as great strength under control. You are not supposed to be this poor, pitiful little victim that the devil uses as a whipping boy over and over and over again. You are a child of the living God. You are filled with the Spirit of God, and you are in covenant relationship with God. And it is time, this is the word that I shared on Sunday morning, that the kings, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 1, it says, in the spring of the year, when kings go off to battle. There was a time every year where kings went off to wage war. They did not just delegate. They just did not send out. They went out themselves. David, in this particular case, sent the troops out, but he decided to stay home. And the result of that was when he, instead of taking the battle to the enemy brought the battle into his very own house, and it affected his kids. It affected his relationship with God. It affected his government. It had devastating effects that were pervasive throughout the community. You and I cannot afford to sit out this time of our lives where God is wanting the kingdom of God to advance. So we need to hear from God, and we need to say, yes, Lord, be Lord over my mouth, be Lord over my thoughts, be Lord over my actions. Help me to walk in obedience to you. So Sarai had brought Hagar in, and Hagar became pregnant. Now, that was going to lead to some volatile confrontations between Hagar and Sarai. And it says that the thing that created the hostility and the discomfort was that Hagar despised Sarai in her own eyes. What she did was she looked at her fruitfulness, she looked at her productivity, she looked at her youth, her vitality, and then she looked at Sarai and she saw her as an angry, controlling, contentious woman who wasn't producing any fruit. And she began to think of herself more than she thought of the mistress whom she was to serve, the mistress there being Sarai. Sarai was the authority over her in her life, and she despised her. And here's the thing. I don't quote Mike Murdoch a lot, but he says this, that which you disrespect moves away from you. That which you disrespect moves away from you. If you disrespect people, they will move away from you. If you're a boss and you abuse your employees, they will move away from you. If you're an employee and you despise your job, if you abuse your job, it will move away from you. Fathers, let me tell you this. If you do not create a relationship with your children as soon as they are able, they will move away from you. And folks, sadly, this is not only something that takes place outside of the church. I know of Christian homes where the fathers did not build a relationship with their kids And even though the wife had stayed up until that point in time, that the father had created such an exasperated relationship, such a frustrated relationship with the kids, that as soon as they could, they said, bye, see ya, we're out of here. That which you disrespect moves away from you. Now, the problem was Hagar didn't realize that she was the source of the problem. And so now there is all of this contention that is going on inside Abraham's house, Abram at this point in time. Proverbs 21:9 says, better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Can you imagine how much more uncomfortable that becomes when you have more than one woman in the house and both of them are going through a difficult season? Proverbs 21:19, just a few verses later, it says, better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. So he says, find a corner of the roof, go live there. Find the place in the wilderness, go live there. Proverbs 27:15 says, a continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand. In other words, it is just not something that is easy to be done with. Now, ladies, lest you think I'm talking just about you, those same roles can be reversed. You can say it's better for a woman to live in the corner of a roof than it is with an angry and a contentious husband. It's better to dwell in the wilderness without any shelter at all than with an angry and contentious husband. It is like a constant dripping. Now, I don't know how you all handle that, but if I hear water dripping, it doesn't matter if I'm sleeping or if I'm not, I've got to get up and I've got to find out what can I do to get this dripping to stop. It absolutely captivates my attention, and most of the time it's doing so when my attention is on sleeping. And so if that's the way that your relationship is, do not settle for less than God's best. Allow God to transform you so that you and I can accept our responsibility and we can make the necessary changes and adjustments in our life so that we are a pleasure to be around. Here's my thing. I want my children and my grandchildren to want to be around me when I'm older. You know, two of them, one of them lives at house in our house right now. One of them is graduating here in just a couple of months and will probably be coming back home until, you know, God provides otherwise. One lives in the community, and I want my kids to now listen, they're adults. They've got to go out and develop their own lives, and they've got to go out and pursue the will of God, and they've got to, but when it comes time, I want them to say, you know what? I'd like to talk to Dad right now. Even if it's just a text message, if it's just something like that, I'd like to go over and hang out with my parents for a while. That's what I'd like to have happen. And sadly, too many times, those parent-child relationships have become so contentious that just like Hagar did, we say, look, I'm going to run. Now, Hagar ran out into the wilderness, and it says here that when she got out there, it was because Sarah had begun to deal harshly with her. And so she said, you know, I'm not going to stay here, and I'm not going to put up with this. And so she began to run. And she got met by an angel of the Lord, and he said to her, where have you come from, and where are you going? Where have you come from, and where are you going? And she said, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai. And I do want to tell you this. You are not called to be a victim of abuse. You're not called to be a victim of physical abuse. You are not called to be a victim of verbal abuse, mental abuse, or spiritual abuse, okay? And so sometimes you need God to speak to you, because a lot of times what happens is we just have grown to accept certain things and defined them as normal. And Hagar said, this is not right. Now, she put all of the onus of responsibility upon Sarai, and she failed to look at the responsibility that she had, and that she was the one who created this system of abuse because of her despising Sarai. And so the angel of the Lord meets to her, and I just take great comfort from this passage that God is interested in communicating with you and I wherever we are. He knows exactly where we are. He knows where we've come from. He knows where we're going. The angel asked, where have you come from and where are you going? And in all honesty, Hagar answered the one question. She answered where she had come from, but she had no idea where she was going. Can I ask you a very important question today? Where are you going? Where are you going spiritually? What is the journey that God is taking you on in 2016? What journey are you on financially? What journey, where is your marriage going? You see, because every one of us are supposed to be having growing and dynamic and healthy, vibrant relationships. And so I could tell you, I've got dreams and of every area where I want to go. And so if you ask me where I'm going, I can tell you. Can you tell me where you've come from? I can tell you where I've come from. I can tell you that where I come from has, to some extent, been determinative in the destination that I am pursuing. And thank God, one of these days, I am going to get to that destination. So if you don't know where you are going, how will you know when you've ever gotten there? Because here is the thing. Hagar was running from Sarai. She was running from the abuse there, but she was also running with a heart that despised people who didn't measure up to her standards. And that was going to follow her wherever she went in her destination until she created the problem. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about Hagar. I wanted to tell you about this because Abram was 86 when Ishmael was born. He was 100 when Isaac was born. And even though Hagar goes back, she has this encounter with God. She goes back and Sarai becomes Sarah. She becomes pregnant. She has a son. She names him Isaac, which means joy and laughter. And the day that they are celebrating that, Sarah looks over and she sees Hagar's son, Ishmael, scoffing and mocking at her son. Now, according to my math, that makes Ishmael about 14 and Isaac just a few days old. And teenagers, adolescents, they have a tendency to mock things that do not measure up to their standards, that are not as fully developed. Remember, Hagar despised Sarai because she wasn't as young as Hagar was. She wasn't as fruitful. And so she began to despise her because she despised Sarai because Hagar was more productive than what Sarai was. And here's the point I want to share with you. She ended up passing on that characteristic, whether she wanted to or not. She ended up developing that same type of mindset of making fun and ridiculing people who were not as developed, not as gifted as she was. At that point in time, she passed it on to Ishmael. And so Ishmael looks at Isaac and says, he's not as big as I am. He's not as strong as I am. he can't even control himself. He has to crawl around. He needs somebody to change his diaper. There's lots and lots of things that you can make fun of about a spiritual baby if you happen to be a spiritual adolescent. If I can tell you this, there are all sorts of people in our churches, and you need to ask yourself whenever you're dealing with them, where are they at? Are they a babe in Christ? Have they grown to where they're able to learn a little bit now, and they're growing in their faith, and eventually they come to a place where they have grown a significant amount, and I term this spiritual adolescence, and that to me is the most dangerous place for a person to become, because there, even though they didn't want somebody judging them when they were younger, they didn't want anybody judging them for the faults that they had, because they were growing and they had a vibrant relationship with God. Anytime somebody reaches spiritual adolescence, they begin to look at those older than them and younger than them. Hagar looked at someone older. Ishmael looked at somebody younger. And they said, these people do not measure up. They are not as gifted as I am, not as talented as I am, not as beautiful as I am. And therefore, I'm going to mock them. I'm going to make fun of them. And I'm going to despise them. And I tell you, whenever you do that, you are setting yourself up for a culture of painful separation, and God doesn't want that. God doesn't want that. I don't know if anybody else this helps today, but I pray that it does, because God wants you and I. This situation between Hagar and Ishmael, Isaac and Sarah, it ended up creating a great deal of pain in Abraham's heart, because Abraham ended up having to send his son Ishmael away because of the contention that was taking place in the house. I tell you what, why don't, instead of despising one another, we love one another? Instead of being in a competition with one another, why don't we say, you know, is there anything I can do to help this person along in their journey? Can I be a blessing instead of a liability? Instead of mocking them and making fun of them, maybe I could be a role model and an example that could help them to become the person that God wants them to be. Father, I pray that our relationships, that our homes would not be places of contention, but places of peace, that they would be places of wisdom, and we would treat one another with the love and respect that a child of God deserves. May you receive all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."